Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the 53rd chapter, Perek Nun Gimel of Sefer Yeshayahu. This is a shorter perek, only of 12 psukim, Yud Bei psukim, but it's a perek which requires a little bit of understanding. The real topic of this perek is the misconception of galus, of exile. So we need to really understand what's going on over here. Most of the perek is actually told in the voice of the nations of the world, which is very fascinating. There's actually a little bit of an oscillation in the voice of who's talking in each of these parakim, and it's worthwhile thinking about that in terms of appreciating, trying to appreciate at least, the different perspectives, and the Mefarshim will debate where the voices change, but nonetheless, let's just go through this from the beginning to the end, and then we'll take some points to ponder. So the first voice is the voice of the non-Jews saying to themselves, who would have believed what we saw if we'd been told this before, meaning when we're witnessing the nation of Israel succeeding suddenly, we would never in a million years have believed that we would have witnessed this. Why? You know what they used to look like, the Jews? The Jews looked like this branch sort of subsisting off a greater entity. They never really had their own independent reality, no beauty, no tzura, no form. We didn't even pay attention to them. They were so insignificant. She was disgraced, rejected by the community of nations. In fact, she herself, the nation of Israel, was so rejected that she hid her own face because she didn't want people to even look at her. That's how far down she is, the rung of the ladder she was. However, now there's a sort of turnaround. This seems to be Yeshayahu interrupting and saying, Achein, Choleinu hu nosa umachovenu sav al sivolom. Really, this was actually the lowliness of the nation of Israel throughout the exile period. It was really a punishment, but not a rejection from Hashem. Meaning, it was closeness, not distance, which you're witnessing. The suffering, he explains, was a process the nation needed to go through to clean them and for the ultimate cleansing of their sins. Pretty clearly now, Yeshayahu says on behalf of the nation of Israel, Kulanu katzon toinu, we strayed like sheep. We didn't listen to God. We went in our own ways. And Hashem had to return to us and punish us for that. Therefore, we went to like lambs to the slaughter. We weren't able to answer as we approached the suffering. Why? Because that's what we chose for ourselves. And he describes in great detail that she would hand herself over to the evil, to bury her, hand over her money to the evildoers in the world, to avoid denying Hashem in his ways. That's where the place that we lived in Galus. Very powerful. And finally, it closes the last Kabbal Psukim, as Hashem describing, Me'amal Nafsho Yireya Yispa, that Hashem wanted this oppression as an atonement. He wanted us to endure it and emerge on the other side for the greater life ahead. And at the same time, Hashem vindicates that in the end, we are still his servant. Not that of the non-Jews around us in history who subjugated us, who enculturated us. We are his HaKadosh Baruch Hu servant, and Hashem therefore promises to give public reward to the Jews who underwent such suffering and still remain true. Very interesting perek to ponder from so many different points of perspective. One is that, you know, thinking about that this perek is not addressing the punishment due to the nations who abused us. It doesn't talk about that at all. Fascinating. That doesn't seem to be the topic. There are many other parakim where we saw that Hashem does explicitly talk about the overdoing of the rest of the nations of the world, of Arisle, of their role as in a certain sense, the stewards of Galus. But that's not really the focus of this parak. But it does seem interesting that the Galus is being described as a cleansing process, something which Hashem actually wanted in order to cleanse us of sin, and therefore it is an indicator of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's care rather than an indicator of his lack of care. So it's interesting that one can sort of see two themes here, though. There's a theme of punishment and there's a theme of test. There seemed to be a moment in the parak where he talked about how we gave up all our money and our lives to those who wanted us to believe otherwise. The Radak points out that as a part of suffering in Galus, the nations treated us as if we were rejected and therefore forced us to convert to them. That was as a function of their misconception of Galus being a rejection. And that's why we had to hold strong as a function of holding on to the belief that we weren't, in fact, rejected. That Israel was not the downtrodden brother replaced by Christianity or Islam, or the other pagan religions from before that. It's interesting to note that the Chiddush Harim, the Gerer Rebbe, has a beautiful chiddush. He points out that the month of Av, of course, the word Av is a Persian name, but he says, you know, perhaps al derech drush, that homiletically speaking, it obviously means in Hebrew, the word Av means father. He says, because imagine you're witnessing the following scene. You saw somebody handing candy to a kid. So you would ask and say, is that the parent of the child? And they'd say, no, that's just the candy man. That's just a very nice guy who goes before Shabbos and buys candy to give out to the kids to make them feel happy. You're like, okay, I get that, I hear that. But then you see somebody taking candy away from a kid, disciplining them. In that case, it would be pretty clear that person isn't anybody. It must be the parent, because people who aren't parents don't really have the right to discipline. Sometimes when we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu disciplining us, we see we're in the height of Av, of a time, of the most difficult time. It's the clearest indication that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a parent. And so Hashem's saying through this parak is, don't make a mistake of thinking that Golos is a rejection. Golos, in fact, is a place and time that I'm the closest to you because I'm disciplining you. Just thinking about this, you know, throughout our history, we've suffered so much, we've sacrificed so much, whether it be our possessions, whether it be our lives. And just, you know, there's a book called All for the Boss about Rav Yaakov, Yosef Yaakov Herman, who is, of course, you know, the first and last chief rabbi of America, RJJ, whenever you see that, that's referring to Rav Herman. And his daughter describes how when they were moving to the land of Israel, it was 1939, they set out on a ship on August the 16th, and when the time they arrived there, war had broken up in Europe. They were supposed to arrive on a Wednesday, and because of the mines in the Mediterranean Sea, they had to change their route. And finally, they entered the port, and it was 1 hour before Shabbos. And they had a bunch of luggage, but they needed to get to the place for Shabbos. So Rav Herman came to the British passport official and he said, please, I just need to get to my place. He took his Sefer Torah, he took his bag, his wife had her pocketbook. He said, we need to get to our place. They said, I'm sorry, you can't go out until you've claimed your baggage. He says, oh no, we have to leave it. We can't. I've never broken a Shabbos before. I'm not going to come to the land of Israel and break my first Shabbos yet. So the man says, well, how much luggage do you have? He says, well, we have 16 crates and 9 pieces of luggage in the room. This is all their earthly possessions. The man said, well, we're taking it all out and putting it on the dock. If you go out, you're not going to be able to reclaim it. It'll all be gone. We can't take responsibility. He said, I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do. I have to get back to this family in time for Shabbos. I have to take that risk. And so he called the British officials, kind of shocked, and called his superintendent, who also, you know, looked at him in, like, you know, disbelief and allowed, stamped the passport off. He went, he caught a taxi, got there just in time for Shabbos to this family. And Rav Herman spent a beautiful and happy Shabbos. By the end of Shabbos, he kept a better time. And they decided, you know, maybe they should take a taxi back and see at the docks. So he goes to the docks. He sees there's a British guard at the edge of the docks. And he says to him, the man says, who are you? He says, we're passengers from yesterday. He says, you know, my superior told me that you were coming back just as sunset comes down today. You're a little late. He was giving Ravana time. And he says, but, you know, your dedication was so impressive to us that we decided to guard your things. We would not let anybody take your possessions. And he was able to reclaim his possessions. But imagine making that decision. And this is a decision many people are to make so many times throughout their lives, throughout the long, long era of Golus. So much a mysterious nefesh. Numerous stories. The Blujava Rebbe was in Bergen-Belsen, one of the concentration camps, one of the luminaries of the Holocaust. And, you know, they would be moiser nefesh. They took shoe dye, which they saved to be the oil, and they used the thread from their clothes as wicks for the Chanukah candles to light it. And as I'm about to get to the brachos, he said the first two brachos, the bracha of Shas Nisim, and the bracha of Hadlakas Ner. And there was a Polish Bund leader who turned to the Blujava Rebbe and said, how can you say the next bracha? How can you say the bracha of Shech Yanov Kiyom Anov Yigiyanon Lazmanazi? Is there anything to say? Is there anything to celebrate at this point in time? And the Blujava Rebbe said, you know what? I was hesitating about the same thing, but then I looked around and I saw hundreds of faces of Jews who are willing to sacrifice everything just to keep the mitzvah of Chanukah, even if it might be the last time. And he says, Shech Yanov Kiyom Anov Yigiyanon Lazmanazi. We have suffered a long and difficult and arduous Golus, but let's make no mistake. There was some plan over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed us to get through it, and somehow it brought out some of the best and the finest of our Jewry. Mr. Shem, we should no longer have to suffer. We should be able to come out at the end of the night where HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises to reward us publicly, as he says in the last pasuk of this perek, unequivocally and very clearly. at this point in time, Lochain Achalek Loi Barabim, I'm going to give their portion in public. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.